for Silas and Timothy to join Paul as soon as possible. As Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was disturbed at the sight of the city given over to idols. So he debated in the Jewish synagogue with both the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks who worshiped there, and every day spoke in the marketplace to whomever came along. Even some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers argued with him. Some said, "What is this chatterbox trying to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a promoter of foreign gods because he was preaching about Jesus and the resurrection." They invited Paul to accompany them to the council of the Areopagus and said, "Let us learn of this new teaching you describe. You bring some strange notions to our ears, and we would like to know the meaning of all this." The Athenians and the foreigners living there loved talking about and listening to the latest ideas whenever they could. A word from our Holy Scriptures.
So imagine with me for a few moments a couple of stranded castaways on a small desert island. They land on this island and it's very small, but they manage to put up a rudimentary structure to live under and find access to food and water. But that not much else to do, of course. They started trying to create games with sticks and coconuts and whatever they had, trying to find ways to pass the time, and making messages on the beach, hoping that a plane would come by. And after a few months, of course, as you would be, they were totally bored. Then one day, this large oak barrel washes up on shore. How cliche, eh? And they're so excited to open this barrel that they get something and they pry open the barrel to only find out that there was a treasure trove of old books. Many of them classics. Like Jane Austen and Oscar Wilde and J.R.R. Tolkien and Emily Bronte, Lewis Carroll, Charles Dickens, Leo Tolstoy, L.M. Montgomery. I had to get a Canadian in there, of course. And the men sift through these old books, and they eventually turn away. They're not really interested in reading any of the classics, these old books. Though they both read, they're not avid readers and have no interest in these books. But they haul the barrel ashore and up out of the water and leave it there for a few days until, oh, they decide, well, let's take some of them out. We can at least use them to play games. So they use them to make Jenga-like games. They use them to, you know, stack and stand on and sword fight each other to see if they can knock each other off. They even take one of the old books and rip up out the stiff old pages so they can make a deck of cards. You know, whatever you can come up with a bunch of old books. But they're still not interested in the books. They just use them to amuse themselves. And it lasts as long as they get bored again. And then one day, one of the castaways picks up one of the books and begins to read it. And in the first book they read, they delve into the world of hobbits and elves and wizards and Gollum and rings and Middle Earth. And there they encounter a whole new world that takes them out of where they are into someplace else that not only captures them, their imaginations, but they are transported into something new. And after that book, of course, they're hooked now. And they pick up another book and encounter new characters and another adventure and a whole new perspective and a whole new world, and they continue to read these books. They now have new ways to think and see the world, and their life is changed by each encounter with a new world that they have never explored before. And life is fuller and happier and more enriched for it. I owe this illustration to David Kane, who writes a blog called Raptitude, Getting Better at Being Human. And he says that we are each both of these characters. We often get stuck in the way things are and the way we are, engaging old behaviors and ways of thinking, and don't often bother to try something new, something exciting, something different, and engage a whole new world that will expand our lives. And other times, we do, sometimes are forced to, branch out and explore new possibilities, engage in new adventures, discovering that something new will bring new growth to our lives and expand us so that we become engaged with life in a whole new way. The world does become more exciting and fun when we determine to do something to expand our lives, to do something new, not to stay in a rut. And you know what? We in this community, this world we live in, this country, have the opportunity every single day to try something new that will increase our experience, our wisdom, our knowledge, and it will expand our world and bring health and joy into our lives if we take advantage of these things. There are so many worlds for us to explore. We are blessed with riches beyond our imagination, just in this community. So why not try something new this year? Well, maybe you want to explore the physical world, travel to someplace you've never been before. The great theologian Augustine wrote that the world is a book, and those who do not travel only read a page. Go on nature hikes. Research some element of the natural world that interests you, birds or bugs or butterflies or biology. Explore something new. Become conversant on a particular subject or on many. I know somebody who every year picks a new subject and only reads on that subject so that by the end of the year, they're really conversant on that one subject, and then the next year choose another one and become really immersed in that subject. Then there's our physical well-being that we could explore to get healthier and stronger. Take up a sport like pickleball. Who's taken up pickleball recently? Oh, one? Go pickleballing with Lee. Pickleball. Go to the gym. Hire a personal trainer. Walk more. Eat healthier. Go swimming. Get that bike out. My favorite, dance more. Or try yoga. There are so many things we can do with our bodies and for our bodies. So many new things that we can try. And we are fortunate again to have access to all these things right here. That's incredible in itself. Or perhaps you would like to learn a new language or a new instrument, play a new board game or card game. I've been playing euchre with a few in their 80s who are just learning how to play euchre. Yay for them. Take singing lessons, something like that. Or if you always wanted to write a book just for you. You don't have to sell it, just write a book. Or take up carpentry or pottery or painting. Plant a garden, learn to knit, crochet, sew, tat, something like that. Or take a course about something you're interested in. Or change your style of dress, wear a hat, take up clowning or comedy or acting. Something. Try something new. I know a guy, I met him at the dog park and we started chatting, and I asked him what he did for a living, and he told me, and he said, I had to get out of my 9-to-5 job, computer programming, he said. So I read this book, got interested in it, went to California and trained, and now, he was a computer programmer, now he's a farrier. He'd never been near horses. But he thought it sounded interesting, so he became a farrier. He's still a farrier. That's how he makes his living. You just get my drift, right? Try something new you've never tried before. Expand and enrich your life, your world this year, and take a risk. The Apostle Paul, though I may not always agree with his theology, always impressed me as someone who is one of those people who is constantly exploring and was always growing and learning. And this meant he could engage pretty much anyone he met because he had a wealth of experience and knowledge. He could go and engage the Jews in Jerusalem, or the Romans in Rome, or peasants in villages, or wealthy women, or prisoners in jail. He could go anywhere and talk to them where they were at. In our scripture today, he is actually engaging the most learned people in Greece, and they were the most learned people in the world at that time. And they were always exploring and debating and learning, and they invited him to come and speak to him. And he did it, and he did it in Greek. He was thought to have known four languages, Paul. This allowed him to talk to people and influence people and to spread the gospel wherever he went. His broad knowledge and experience afforded him the ability to reach people right where they were. And Paul is often credited with the good news of Jesus and the establishment of the early church because he was fearless in speaking to and engaging individuals and groups with the message of Christ. He wasn't afraid to explore the unknown and to learn new things. To explore new possibilities and new worlds is not only to enhance our own lives, but it exposes us to new people, new opportunities where we can model and share the light of Christ with others. Not in words, but by our lives when we get to new people. New ventures, new friends to make, always. We need to regularly shake up our lives a bit, or a lot. Sometimes, try new things, encounter new people and situations, learn something different, do something different. It's what makes life more interesting, us more interested, happier, and more resilient. The more we expand and grow, the more we learn to adapt and change. Becoming lifelong learners and explorers. That's what makes life interesting. Be curious. Be curious. Nobody should be bored with life. In July of this year, I will have been in Alberta for 40 years. I moved here as a very naive, inexperienced, arrogant young person of 25 who thought I knew a lot. Now I know I know nothing. It was a great adventure for me. That I thought would last only a few years, then I would move back to Ontario. And here I am 40 years later. I have hopefully grown much and learned some things with time and age, maybe not none the wiser, but hopefully. And I am ready now to branch out and try new things still today and want to seek new adventures, new growth, new learning. That's why today I am announcing with some sadness and excitement and trepidation and bittersweetness that I will be retiring from congregational ministry as of July 31st this summer. I know, boo, I know it seems sudden for some of you. Thanks, Jody. I know it seems sudden for some of you. I tried to give a little bit of warning with my 64th birthday. I have been considering it for some time now, and it seems right for me at this time. I'm ready. I do want to explore new things while I'm still young enough and have the energy to do it. I'm ready for a break after 35 years of working in the United Church. I want to explore what life is like after years of writing weekly sermons, not having weekends off, being on call 24/7, spending every Christmas and Easter in the church, and feeling the weight of responsibility for two congregations. I'm going to have weekends off. I will miss this community terribly. I want you to know that I do love you, and this decision has everything to do with my freedom to do new things, to travel, learn, and continue to grow. For the next 6 months, we'll get used to this together. We will cry and laugh together. We will say our goodbyes as we need to. We will anticipate good things for this community with new energy and possibilities on the horizon. And we will talk, and we will keep talking. you are in good hands with this board here, and you will work together with St. Andrew's to find a good minister for these two communities of faith, and I don't anticipate you will have trouble doing that. I will tell you now that I do not know what I'm doing, so don't ask. I don't plan to move, and I plan a trip to Europe this fall. That's all I know right now. And that's all I can say right now. There will be lots more in the weeks to come and months to come. Things will unfold as they need to. We'll all get used to this new possibility, and you will be kept informed about what's going on. And I desperately want only the best for this community and this pastoral charge. I want you to know that. I'm going to invite Karen up now, who's chair of the board, and will take over the service and tell you a little bit about what's to come. And I'm going to run up and speak to the kids because they deserve for me to tell them. And then I'll be back to hug you after.
So we know that this announcement from Julia is surprising to many of you. You may feel shocked or sad, and you may be wondering what happens next. Julia's time among us has been very significant to our faith community. These next few months together will be an important time for each of us to say goodbye. Stay tuned for details on how we will celebrate Julia's ministry before her departure. I want to reassure you that the United Church of Canada has a very well-defined process in place for a change in pastoral relations. Your board will be starting this process immediately, and we will share that with you in the coming weeks. It is our commitment to you to keep the lines of communication open. Please pray for God's spirit of discernment to be at work in our community and in our future minister. If you have any questions or concerns, please speak to me or to Sally Salter, our Chair of Ministry and Personnel. So let's take some time to pray now.